Karima Brown on 702.
28 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You're listening to 702. And of course, we are coming to you live from our Cape Town studios in the build-up to our SONA coverage, which you, of course, will be listening tomorrow. We'll give you wall-to-wall coverage there. But we focus now on the Northwest. The African National Congress will send a newly established structure to the troubled Northwest to meet its warring factions. This come after the former Northwest Premier, Supremo Mapelo, won a court challenge today, effectively reinstating him as ANC chairperson in the province. Mahumapelo was sacked together with the entire provincial executive committee late last year following a number of disruptive ANC meetings. The ANC then appointed a provincial task team headed by the acting Premier Job Mokgoro to lead the party until the May elections. Mahumapelo and his supporters challenged the decision in the South Gauteng High Court last year, and Judge Faiza Kathri Setluane today ruled in favour of Mahumapelo and his supporters. They argued that the ANC National Executive Committee had disregarded a report by the party's deployee, Obed Bapela, who had warned against disbanding the provincial leadership. While joining me on the line to look at the implications of this is Professor Andre Duvenager, who is a political analyst at the Northwest University. Prof. Duvenager, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima.
Now, the fact that Mr. Mahumapelo has won this obviously puts him back into the seat, and the work of the task team has to stop. We know that the ANC has now put together another team headed by the Deputy President, Mr. Didi Mabuza, but we also know that the ANC is going to appeal this decision. I'm not sure if you've had a look at the judgment, but what was the kernel issues around which Mr. Mahumapelo won this court bid?
Karima, according to my understanding, it has to do with the principle of lack of consultation with the branches. The argument is that in the constitution of the ANC, consultation is critical before you can disband any structure. And the argument from the judge is that there was not proper consultation with the branches. But then again, we must take into consideration that the ANC is a very disrupted organization in the province. There's a lot of internal conflicts. There are these bogus structures that are developing. It's difficult to get an election and elect people. So the general context is problematic.
Absolutely. In fact, I was going to ask you, I mean, the whole point of disbanding the Northwest PEC was because the organization was actually fake. They were gatekeeping to such an extent that there were branches that didn't really exist, but that were counted, and that the organization's integrity was, in fact, questioned. How come the judge didn't take that into account?
The argument was that the branches was verified before the national conference of the ANC towards the end of 2017. And on basis of that, there was an element of consistency which the judge take into consideration. But the reality was that the whole process, even to the build-up to the 2017 national conference of the ANC, was very problematic. But Karima, we must take into consideration that the lifetime of the PEC will come to an end within the next week or two.
Yes, exactly.
So in reality, there need to be new elections for the provincial leadership. And that seems to me that it must take place even before the national elections. And that is going to be problematic. And that is probably the reason why Mabuza is intervening. They are going to appeal, place the whole process on hold, and then they continue as if nothing happened. That was the style of the ANC, even under Zuma. But the point is, from a psychological point of view, it was a very important win for Mr. Supremo Mapelo. And I believe this is going to give a lot of momentum to the Mapelo camp here in Northwest. And my national concern at this point is that there's a lot of mobilization going on within the Zuma camp. We have seen that with Ace Magashule, and I must mention to you, there are already conspiracy theories going that Ace Magashule was in support of Supra Mohamopelo, and as a result of this, they didn't empower the National Executive Committee and their argument against Supra Mohamopelo. So these arguments are around, but the fact of the matter, on a national level, I am a bit concerned about the support base and the levels of mobilization coming from KZN, the Free State, and also here in Northwest. I think now, it's a real danger for the president.
Now, the other person that has been speaking about the fight back by the Zuma camp is, of course, Professor Mark Swilling, and he's written a piece in the Daily Maverick where he speaks precisely about this. Now, we know that Mr. Magashule, for example, was at an illegal meeting with President Jacob Zuma, and many people suspect that it was an attempt to actually manipulate the list process, and that what you're going to possibly see with this kind of mobilization is that President Ramaphosa might be able to appoint a cabinet of his choice, but he might have a very hostile legislature with MPs that are looking for gaps to go for him.
Yes, I think that is most probably going to be the scenario. For example, in the Free State, if you look at the lists in the Free State, it is predominantly an Ace Magashule list. And there are very controversial figures, even that Tswane Minister of Mineral and Energy is in a very high position on the Free State list.
Yeah.
And the same argument also in KZN. And I know here in Northwest, the influence of the Supra Mohamopelo group was not that dominant, but it was still very prominent. So there's definitely a mobilization. There's also rumors of that type of mobilization in places like the Eastern Cape. So I will be very concerned at this point if I was in the position of Mr. Ramaphosa. He need to keep unity to win the election. But in order to keep unity, he need to accommodate all his most hostile enemies within the framework of the ANC. And I think the outcome of this may be very problematic after the election.
Professor Duvenage, my argument has always been that the courts cannot actually solve the political problems of the African National Congress. There's essentially conflicting political projects in the organization. My argument is that President Zuma must actually be kicked out of the organization because he uses the organization to hide, he uses it to mobilize, and he uses it to make contact with the people. But if you look at his role, it's an incredibly divisive role. He speaks to people directly on Twitter, speaks against the president, acts in a manner as if he's still running the country. For example, his children are allowed to insult ministers of the party and so on. I mean, I think the solution actually lies inside the African National Congress, because if you cut President Jacob Zuma off from the African National Congress, he will have to then go to his true allies, which are these pop-up parties that we've seen in various provinces and of course, the BLF. The courts are not going to be able to give the ANC a solution. They will have to bite the bullet in a real sense and take action against President Zuma, in my view.
Yes, Karima, you are quite right with your summary, but there's one problem, and that is the extent of the support base of Jacob Zuma. If we just go one step back and we look at what happened during the 2017 conference of the ANC, it was literally the about 200 votes of David Mabuza that was the difference between Nkosi Zana Dlamini Zuma as president or Ramaphosa as president. So in a way, the support base of Zuma was very dominant at that point, and it is still the case. And I must tell you, he's still mobilizing and organizing through people like Esma Gesule, Supra Mohamopelo, and others. So it's a problem of power. Now, how do you deal with this building up to an election where the indications are that your support base is around the mid-50s? If Zuma is mobilizing outside the structures, it's about certain that the support base will drop below 50. That is the catch-22 situation in which Ramaphosa is finding himself at this point.
Professor Duvenaga, what about the strategy of saying to President Jacob Zuma, we are concerned about your actions. You essentially operating as if you an entity on your own. We're going to look into the role. And then, of course, we've seen today Bosasa people being arrested. Yesterday, I spoke with Zizi Kodwa, and he actually said that the hawk shouldn't be waiting for the Commission of Inquiry. There's actually instances where there's prima facie evidence where people can actually be arrested. And in this instance, Ms. Dudu Mieni, for example, who's very close to President Zuma, was affected. I mean, there are a lot of instruments that can be used to disarm this camp. There are instruments in terms of the rule of law, because a lot of them are actually just guilty of looting the state, and there's a lot of evidence to that effect. And then, of course, there's the internal mechanisms of the African National Congress that has nothing to do with the Commission into State Capture, that has nothing to do with the Mokgoro Commission, that has nothing to do with law enforcement agencies. The organization itself can act against its members. I mean, Mr. Esma Gesule is the heart of the organization in administrative terms. He has been acting in a factional manner. Even he can face disciplinary charges.
Yes, Kariba, again, your summary is right, and you are arguing from a legal perspective, working with the assumption that we are a constitutional state and that we can uphold the rule of law under all circumstances. Now, that is from a normative perspective also my viewpoint. But I'm also a bit of a realist, knowing that power is sometimes also defining how you are going to implement rules. And I must tell you, the problems within the structures of the ANC is of such a nature that I am not sure that the ANC, and specifically Ramaphosa, is in a position to manage this in a proper way. If we just look at the people implicated at the moment with regard to state capture and the investigation of the Zondo Commission, it is clear it is involving also Ramaphosa people. For example, the chairperson of the ANC, Gweny Mantashe. We know that Ramaphosa himself is implicated with the 500,000 rand. We know that many other senior people are implicated in this process. And I am concerned at this point that there will be a trade-off behind the scenes, and that Mr. Zuma is most probably going to survive this ordeal, that the political consensus principle coming from power play is probably stronger at this point than the constitutional state. That's a concern. I would like to see it the other way, but I know that Mr. Zuma specifically, and that's also applicable to the Magashules and the Mohamopelos, they are the strong men of politics at the moment. And if you have the African perspective, it's not going to be easy to take them away.
Professor Duvenaga, my final question to you is, all of what you say is true, and yet when one is a president, the power that you wield is real, both as a president of the African National Congress and, of course, of the state. And the African National Congress's biggest responsibility isn't keeping its organization together. It is winning the hearts and minds of ordinary South Africans to vote it back into power. And in order to do so, some people will have to go to jail. Some people will have to be sacrificed. And the president will essentially have to choose between the people of South Africa and a broken organization. I mean, if one is talking about mobilization, it's not as if these people are mobilizing to support the African National Congress. They're actually undermining their own elections campaign in many instances. I mean, this is the time for Mr. Ramaphosa to be bold, because he must also remember that if he loses this election, he will be the one that, in fact, brings the ANC into a situation where it could be in the opposition benches. And that's also not something that he wants on his watch. He's got to choose the South African people. And in order to do so, he'll have to cut the cancerous parts out of his organization, even if it's a very painful process.
I cannot agree more with you. And that is the difference between a statesman and a politician.
Yes.
And we are going to see if Mr. Ramaphosa is only just another politician, or does he have the qualities of a statesman? Now, what I understand of Mr. Ramaphosa is that he's a very good strategist and tactician. And I think he's going to play this low before the election. We must take into consideration, we are probably about 3 months away from the election. And after the election, I believe he's going to take very, very strong action. So I
yes.
think we must just give him the opportunity to survive the election one way or another, and I think then we can expect action. It's also interesting, over the last week or two, there were conversations between Julius Malema and Jacob Zuma. So
yes.
it's clear that there is a power base developing on certain levels that must be a concern for Mr. Ramaphosa. But he's playing
absolutely
the game,
and of course the reason why they're coming together is because both groups of people know that the law enforcement agencies, if they have clearance to do their work, they're going to have to come after them. It's that brings them together, rather than a common political vision.
Absolutely. It's all politics of survival, and the principle is my enemy's enemy is my friend. Because there's no way that Mr. Zuma and Mr. Malema can be very close in ideological terms or in personal terms. I cannot see that given the history.
Absolutely. Professor Duvanaka, thank you very much. That is the political analyst at the University of the Northwest, Professor Andre Duvanaka, expressing his views and breaking down the implications of the fact that Supremo Maphela has effectively been reinstated as the provincial chairperson of the African National Congress.